This week, we're going to talk about what we do with all of that. What do we do with everything that Mike has been talking about? So we have our purpose as a group, as the church, but what do we as disciples of Christ do? What is our goal individually? And like I said, Mike talked about the power of the church last week, and that power comes from the Holy Spirit that resides within us. And God gave us the Holy Spirit to encourage, to grow, and to aid us in our daily life and in our daily needs. By a show, I said hands, but just put your thumb up if you've heard be holy as I am holy, if you've ever heard that before. Okay, good. I want to make sure you're awake. So this comes from Leviticus 19. It's okay if you haven't heard that before. But it's quoted multiple times throughout Scripture. Holiness is found throughout the Bible in both the Old Testament, which is where Leviticus comes from, and from the New Testament. And God places a very, very heavy emphasis on holiness. Holiness is important to God, and it's attainable by us as believers individually. We're called to reflect the holiness of God. And you wouldn't ask this of us if it wasn't possible. Many of you have been here for a long time, but some of you may not know that we are a Wesleyan church. Or maybe some of you do know what that means, but you don't know what Wesleyan is. So I'm just going to give you a brief introduction to what that is. As Mike said, we're going to be offering some membership classes and some foundation classes. I know that's a promo, but you should definitely sign up for those because I'm writing the curriculum. But what does it mean to be a Wesleyan? Wesleyan branches from the Methodist movement, and John Wesley is the unintentional founder of the Methodist movement. I say unintentional because he literally did not mean to start a new movement. Like, that was not his goal at all. But after he died, everybody was like, wow, this is so cool. We're going to do this. So he saw that a group of people were not being reached in the community. So he went out to the people. He brought the gospel to the people. So he went out to the mines. He went out to the fields. He rode on horseback. And he would just preach the gospel to people. There are pictures of him actually standing on these huge graves where he would just preach to people, which is like, now we're like, that's kind of weird. But at the time, it was a really important thing. And he was a really, really cool guy. When I was in my ministry classes, I remember hearing this story one time. And we don't actually know if it's true. So don't like quote me on this. I just think that it's a cool testament to who John Wesley was. But my professor told us that he was so in love with God that he would just go out and preach the gospel, and people would get angry at him and run him off of places. And that didn't happen to him for a while, so he was sitting there praying to God, and a man came out from behind a bush and threw a brick at his head, and he thanked God for it. Like, I don't know if that's true. My professor didn't know if that's true. He said it was true. We don't know. But that is the kind of guy that John Wesley was, and a big focus for him was holiness. So as the Wesleyan Church, we place emphasis on holiness. So he placed such a huge emphasis on holiness in the believer's life that he actually was a part of a group called the Holy Club. And he spent hours a day in his regimented schedule practicing holiness and praying and self-examining. And there's nothing wrong with self-examination. Some of us need to do it way more than we currently do. But there's something to be said about being neurotic with your spiritual life and with your holiness. So this man would wake up at four in the morning, and start praying and self-examining, which is mind-blowing to me because the thought of waking up at 4 a.m. makes me want to cry. But he had these questions that he would work through every day. They are reflection questions. They are really intense. And I'm not going to read all 22 of them, but I'm going to read some of them just to kind of give you an idea of what he was working through every day. So these are some of the questions. Am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I am better than I really am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Am I a slave to dress, friends, work, or habits? Am I self-conscious, self-pitying, or self-justifying? Did the Bible live in me today? Do I pray about the money I spend? Am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold the resentment towards, or disregard? If so, what am I doing about it? Do I grumble or complain constantly? Is Christ real to me? See, and these are great questions to ask, and I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a question or working through them and examining in your own life. The problem is that for Wesley, it was a checklist. It was a, I'm going to work through these, I'm going to repent, that's the end. And this was meant to be helpful for him, but it actually became a hindrance because instead of being free from this, it was holding him back. He was looking at how imperfect he is and how he wasn't a good person. Eventually, he became one of the greatest evangelists, preachers, and writers in the modern church. But these questions were not enhancing his faith or his holiness in any way because he always felt defeated. Martin Luther struggled with the same thing. Martin Luther was also an incredible foundational stone to the modern church, but both of them struggled with being hindered by their imperfections than embracing them. So how is holiness attainable if it's not done by a checklist or good deeds? How do we as believers become holy in this time and age? The answer to all of this is the Holy Spirit, which isn't really a surprise because Mike talked about it last week. But it's the Holy Spirit. See, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit resides in you. When you become a believer, the Holy Spirit resides within you. And that's the starting point to holiness, that or the sanctification process. That's what we call it as well. From that moment onwards, the Holy Spirit continually moves and changes us from within. So that means that who you were before you were a Christian is not the same person you are now. When you are a Christian, you're a new person, you're a new creation, which is one of the coolest things. Every time you submit to God, you become more like Christ. With every submission, you're becoming less of your sinful self and more of the creation that God made you to be. We're going to be in Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. It's also going to be up on the board if you don't have your Bibles. But Philippians 2. Paul writes, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life." That was verses 14 through 16. So how do we shine amongst the stars? It's by living a sinless life. And I know that saying that right off the bat, you're like, I am so sinful. There's no way I could ever live a sinless life. But the more that you become like Christ, the less you sin. I had a professor in college who, honestly, is one of the weirdest people I've ever met in my life. Like, I don't even know how to begin to describe this guy. But just to give you an idea, he had like zero boundaries ever, and in class he would often talk about sex with us, which you don't want to talk about with your professor ever, but it was just wild. And he was a missionary in Papua New Guinea for a long time, so he was just weird. Really respect the man, he was odd though. But I'll never forget, one day we were sitting in class and he was talking about our raging hormones, and all of us are sitting there and we're like, oh my gosh, please stop. Please stop talking about this. But he said something super profound to me that I will never forget. Well, it wasn't directly to me. Anyways, he said that it's really hard to sin when you're talking to God. Right? And that is like the most profound. I don't know why that's so profound, because it's kind of like, well, duh. But I started bringing that in every area of my life, right? So I have really bad anger issues when I drive. I'm 5'3", but I am like I don't curse or anything like that, but I'm like, how dare you not use your blinker? Like, I get so mad. I don't know why. It's like irrational anger. But I remember, one time, I had one of my youth kids in the car with me. I was driving her home, and this guy in front of me didn't use his blinker, and that one always gets me. I don't know why. It just, please use your blinkers. But we're driving. He cuts me off, and I'm like, sir, God bless you. Right? And, like, from that point on, every single time I started to get angry, I'm like, okay, God, come down on me. I need you to give me a cold splash of water because I'm about to go off on this guy. Right? So that's the next time that you start to feel temptation or, like, sin, where you want to sin, literally just start talking to God. Like, you will not feel it anymore because you don't want to do the dirty. You don't want to do anything nasty when you're talking to God. It's weird. It's really weird. You don't want to get angry when you're talking to God. So it's an incredibly humbling thing to be screaming at God, to be screaming at another person and then talking to God. I mean, whatever. We scream at God sometimes too. So these acts are what make us shine amongst the stars. Our change in behavior and our change in mind is what sets us apart from the people around us. So once you become a Christian, hobbies and interests you had before are not as interesting as they once were. My best friend is an incredible poet, and she used to write a lot about depression and addictions and things like that. But after she became a Christian, she, like, could only write about Jesus. Like, she does spoken word. And it's so beautiful hearing her talk about God bringing his kingdom to earth. She's not the same person after the Holy Spirit filled her, right? And that's the same with all of us. God gives us all these incredible, unique gifts. Some of us are really good with our hands, and we can create things. Some of us are really good with our words, and we can speak things. All of us have different gifts. But I think that there's this subconscious fear with holiness because it's supposed to be more of God and less of me. Have you guys heard that before? More of God, less of me, right? So what happens to me, though, when it's more of God and less of me? Am I put on the back burner? Do I just become this weird God zombie? No. Holiness is not assimilation. When missionaries were sent over to the Americas to save the savages, they chose to assimilate the people and force them into something that they didn't understand and were never actually taught. This isn't what God does with us. He walks us through this process, and we may stray, and we may face consequences because of that straying, but we are still gracefully walked through this lifetime process. God made us all very unique with our abilities and our gifts, but that doesn't suddenly go away in holiness. When I was 18, I thought that I knew everything. Like, all 18-year-olds think that. I don't know why teenagers think they are so smart, because they're not. Like, we have poo brains. But when I was 18, I thought that I was just the coolest person and that I knew everything. In my first year of college, God revealed more things to me about myself and about him than I have ever experienced with him, ever. And I was so incredibly humbled by that. And now I have a college degree, which should mean that I know a lot, but I can confidently say I don't know anything that taught me. I have a piece of paper with my name on it. Like, that's all that college got me, really. So I think John Wesley writes about this very adequately. He says, when I was younger, I was sure of everything. In a few years, having been mistaken 1,000 times, I was not half so sure of most things as I was before. At present, I'm hardly sure of anything but what God has revealed to me. See, the process of holiness is incredibly humbling and eye-opening. It isn't a one-time thing, though. It's not a one-and-done. This is something that is spread out along your lifetime. Holiness is a lifetime process. It starts when you become a Christian and ends when you're at the feet of God. Leviticus 11:44. It's up on the board. It says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves to be holy because I am holy. Consecrate means to declare or dedicate for a purpose. So I am the Lord your God. Dedicate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Even in the New Testament, the same message is repeated. Matthew 5:48 says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Or 1 Peter 1:15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Like I said, this is a tall order to fill, but it's not on our own strength. Like, we can never be holy by ourselves. It's a 100% reliance on the Holy Spirit within us. And in this lifetime process of change, we will conquer many obstacles and trials, and we will have seasons of immense growth, but there's also seasons of struggle. Do you guys know about the process of purifying ocean water? I heard a couple years ago that California was going through like some water struggles, so they were going to start figuring out how to purify ocean water. So in 2015, they started it, and it was expected to purify more than 104 million gallons of water a day, but was found to only be able to actually purify a little less than half of that estimated amount. The process of purifying water goes through multiple phases, around 10 phases to make it so that's actually considered safe to drink. In the same way, that is the holy life of a Christian. We have to go through multiple steps before we're considered purified for the Lord. And I know this process can sound like you're going to become some immaculate being with superpowers, but unfortunately, that's not how it works. I thought that when I graduated college, I'd suddenly be able to memorize the entire Bible, that I would have everything figured out, I wouldn't have any fear. Like I said, I have a piece of paper. Like, that is the only thing I confidently have, is a piece of paper. The process is a hard one, but you'll get there. And I want to make something clear. I keep talking about like what I thought versus now. I'm not by any means holy. I don't know that anybody that says that they are holy is actually holy, because then you're not being humble. You know what I mean? Like, it's that conundrum. So holiness doesn't make us superhumans, and it doesn't put us on the same level as God. We're still Christians. We're still human. We're just becoming what God always intended for us. See, one of my favorite poets sums it up very well. He says, on that day, we will sing of the name more excellent than angels, a purified bride, a refined heart, speech, and mind, where unity and fellowship is perfected in the church, where divine love rests in the hearts of the inhabitants. See, holiness is what we were always intended for. Because it's what we were always intended for, I hope that this was an encouraging message, or maybe it was just an eye-opening message. I didn't even know holiness was attainable until my senior year of college. Like, that was not something that had ever been brought to my attention before. So maybe this was just an introduction message for you. Maybe you were struggling and this was encouraging. But holiness belongs in our lives, and it comes by a reliance on the Holy Spirit, by dying to self every single day. See, holiness means conforming and submitting to the will of God. It's a work of gradual development in our lives. Please bow your heads and pray with me. God, we thank you for the aid that the Holy Spirit has given us. We pray that as we take each day, that you would reveal your character to us more and more. We ask for its continued guidance in our lives, and that you would continue to mold us into creations more like your Son every single day, God. Guide us and walk with us this week. In your name we pray. Amen.